like to speak very briefly on a warm evening tonight on verse 21, principally of 1 Kings 18. This well-known verse, 1 Kings 18, if you're looking for the reading again, it's found on page 403. My title tonight is Silent Indecision. Let me read our text to you. And Elijah came unto all the people. There were many people there, thousands, tens of thousands, upon a hillside and in the plain below on Mount Carmel. And he addresses the people. And he says this in challenge: how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people, they could not decide. They would not answer, not even a word. A famous historical narrative. This isn't fiction. This is history. The prophet Elijah, a much loved narrative. Children, I'm sure you've heard this in Sunday school many, many times. An extraordinary tale, except it's not a tale. This is historical fact. This is one of those historical accounts which just help us to understand the problem of the human heart. We cannot make up our minds. Is God God? Or is there something else? Do I do what I feel like? Do I try and make up my own DIY religion? A bit of this and a bit of that? Do as I please. I wonder if you are good at making decisions. Some people are not. They hate making a decision. Put it off. Delay. Excuse after excuse. Sure, we've all got parts of our homes we wished we'd got to a long time ago. Maybe tidying up, maybe decorating, maybe cleaning out the cupboards. But we put it off. We allow ourselves to get distracted because we don't want to throw something away. We don't want to leave something behind. Let's wait. Wait for something else and for someone else to decide. Well, that's what the children of Israel did. Elijah, the prophet Elijah, had gone in this chapter and the one before, he'd gone to King Ahab, king of Israel. And he'd gone to him 3 years before, and he said, this land, it's worshipping God and worshipping idols. This cannot be. This is God's people. They're to be holy. They're to be separate. They're to be single-minded. King Ahab, you've allowed this to happen. And there will now be a great drought, a famine in the land. When we read our verse here, Ahab has gone to find Elijah. The two of them have met together, and Elijah fearlessly has gone to King Ahab, who is livid. He sent a man called Obadiah, a different one, not the one named after the book, to find if there's any grass for his animals to eat. They're just about to die. King Ahab and Elijah meet together, and Elijah confronts Ahab and says, because you didn't listen to me, there's been a judgment of God, 3.5 years, no rain. And now, there's going to be a showdown, a contest. Here on Mount Carmel, we're going to see who is the one true God of Israel. Elijah was very brave to say that to a king. Took no little faith. The Lord had kept Elijah, his servant, through these 3 years, miraculously. He had provided for him, you know the narrative, with ravens and with astonishing miracles. And so Elijah comes. He gathers the people together and Ahab allows it. He calls Elijah the troubler of Israel. You've caused this, and it was wrong. The people had caused it. Their sin, their indecision, their mixing of religions. God will not have that. God is the only God. He will not be mixed with anything else. Worship of the one true God is to be pure and holy. And we'll see how Elijah keeps that. So the people are arrayed. Here's Elijah going up the mountain. He came unto all the people, verse 21, and he gives them a challenge. Why are you so undecided? There were three types of people on that mountainside that day. There was the one devoted servant of God, Elijah. He wouldn't compromise. He was for God, the one prophet left. Then there were those decided servants of the prophets of Baal, 450, worshipping an evil God that made them cut themselves. So much that they gushed with blood. Our authorized version says very graphically, a God that caused the people to harm themselves. What a shocking thing. And then there was those that sat on the fence, undecided. They knew that God was holy, but they liked Baal. They liked a little bit of unholiness in their worship, a little bit of do as you please. So here's the three kind of people. Who are you tonight? Are you devoted to the one true God? Are you against him? I hope there's nobody tonight that's dead set against God and you would rather worship the gods of men's hands. But maybe there's some here tonight. I think there is. You're sat on the fence. It's uncomfortable. Anybody that sits on a fence, especially a barbed wire fence, it's uncomfortable. And there you sit, undecided, here on a narrow neck of land, twixt two unbounded seas I stand, but so insensible. That's the unbeliever. They can see heaven and hell. They can see Christ, but they love their sin. They're undecided. That's the picture tonight. People can't see their need. So that's what I want to speak about tonight. These two. You notice there are three twos in this verse. There's two different opinions. There's those who are focused on this world and what they can do. And there's dear Elijah, who looks beyond, and he has a different opinion. That's what he calls it, an opinion, a choice, a conviction. There are two different gods. There's a holy God, and there's many, many other gods. A DIY kit of gods. Any kind and flavor and shape and size that you wish. And the people had them there. And there's two different positions. Which position are you in tonight? Why are you halting between two opinions, he says. This isn't just ancient history. It is. But this is the gospel. The same question has to be asked of the cross tonight. What will you do with Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Will you sit on the fence? Will you be undecided? Or will you be for Christ on his side, loving him, turning away from anything that's evil, and turning to your God? That's the question tonight. Well, let me explain what this term halt means. It's a very unusual term. I looked up about 15 different Bible translations, and there are almost as many words for the word halt. Let me give you a few of them. Limping. Limping from one to another. Just limping. And then you can describe it as wavering. An undecided person who wavers. Wobbling. It's even more graphic. Faltering. Being paralyzed by indecision. Oh, I just can't make up my mind. Will I be for God? Will I be for Christ? Do I want my sins forgiven and washed and be right with him? Will I listen to his voice and follow him? Or will I listen to my heart and to the things of this world? Will I love myself? Will I love sport? Will I love science and philosophy and academia? Will I live in a sensual way? I was on a train journey yesterday morning. I listened to two young people, describing what had gone on the night before in their lives. It was grieving to hear how shallow, how sensual, how they made their decisions like animals. Instinct, lust, drink, and everything else. Self-love. God says, don't live that way. Don't be an animal. Don't follow your lust. Don't love yourself, love me. Well, let's think tonight of Elijah. Here's Elijah. He stands before the people. He's so fearless, so brave, firm with them. One prophet. 450 prophets of Baal he's outnumbered. How can he possibly triumph? But God is on his side. And God's truth is always vindicated. Never ever doubt. God's truth will always shine through. His light will come forth. And there's Elijah. He's committed. Committed to standing for truth. But the people are committed to spiritual adultery. They want it every which way. And here's his opportunity. He's probably going to be killed by Ahab. And he sets up this experiment. It's so graphic. Let's have a showdown. Come and meet. And he sets the conditions. Don't like to use gambling terms. But he loads the dice. He stacks the cards against himself. And against God, he makes it an unfair contest. 4 barrels of water. He gives them as long as they want all day, from the beginning of the day until mid-afternoon. There's Elijah, there's just one of him. He gives them more time and more time. A picture of God's grace. Have a bit more time. Plead to your God for help. And there was no answer. Isn't it interesting? When Elijah speaks, the people answered not a word. When the people prayed to Baal, he answered not a word. Oh, and here's his question. How long? Maybe that's the two words to stick in your mind tonight. How long? 10 years? 20 years of spiritual adultery? How long? Are you going to leave it another 10 years? What are you waiting for? You know that sitting on the fence is an insult to God. You know that waiting any longer is an offense. Your sin is growing, the sin of unbelief. What causes us to sit on the fence? Well, of course, the great problem underneath every sin is pride. Pride says, if I was to turn to God, I'd have to admit I was wrong. I'd have to admit that my way of living up until now was wrong. I can't do that. Maybe it's ignorance. I doubt it. There's not many here tonight that don't know the way of salvation. You know that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. You know that there is no other way, no other truth, no other life. Maybe it's laziness. Are you lazy? You won't come and see your need and call out in prayer. Maybe you love the world too much. There's something in your life, some sin. Maybe you don't want to change. You don't want to leave it all behind. Maybe your anger. You don't want to be a peaceful person. Maybe you don't want to be a humble person. Maybe you don't want to say goodbye to living for the next kick, the next shopping spree. I don't know what it is. What is it in your life? You know. Maybe you're fearful of man. You'd have to go to school and tell people, do you know, I don't do that anymore. I don't use those words anymore. I don't go to that place anymore. My life is different now. I live for God. I'm for Him. I follow Him. Maybe you're presuming. Presumption. I've got more time. I've got many years ahead of me. I can wait. Do you know, we don't know how long we'll live. Eternity is a long time. Psalm 90 told us time is very short. We don't know how long it will be. Why should we not delay? Do you know, this is our great need. Salvation in Jesus Christ. A cleansed heart. Guilt removed. Do you feel your guilt? Before God, these people, they didn't feel their guilt. They answered not a word. They wouldn't tell Elijah that they felt their sin. 3 years of drought and famine, and they knew why it had come. God had judged them that their heart was so hard. Not a word. Do you know, the evidence is so compelling. Look at them. Standing there on Carmel. Their gods are silent. And they listen to Elijah. His prayer is so short. It's so sincere. He prays from the heart. He prays to God and pleads that God would answer. Did you know that's what you need to pray tonight? A simple prayer. God, hear me. If you're there, hear me. That's what Elijah said. If you're there, come down. The fire. How did God answer? The water condensed. The fire came down. That means two things. God was with them. Pictured in the fire, and God was pleased with their worship, with Elijah's worship. Is God pleased with your life up until now? Are you pleased with your life up until now? Do you know, pictured there in that sacrifice is Elijah trusting in a Savior. He takes an animal. He orders 12 stones, not cut with human hands. He puts them in place. He followed the rules. And this speaks of Christ. And there's Elijah pleading that God would make his sacrifice acceptable. And God said, yes. And the fire comes down. What will you do tonight? What will you do with the question Why are you hesitating? The evidence is all there. Elijah couldn't have been more clear. He couldn't have loaded the dice anymore. God reveals himself. It's never for a lack of evidence. All the evidence is there, all around us, in the sky, in the creatures, in God's creation. The problem is our unbelief. That was their problem here. They wouldn't believe only in Christ, in the promise that God had given, only in the words that Elijah came with. Do you know, my friends, tomorrow might be too late. There might not be the opportunity tomorrow. These 450 men, that was their last time, their last opportunity. They'd committed heinous sin. Prophets that knew what they were doing. And Elijah pleads with them for the final time. 450. And tomorrow, down by the dry brook, they're killed in further judgment. Oh, I wouldn't wish that on any tonight. God comes pleading. Elijah pleads. How long? How long? Two opinions. Don't sit on the fence anymore. Don't you see on Calvary the arms of Christ stretched wide open? Did you notice how Elijah said, "Come, come, come before me. Let me plead with you. Come. Come before me, hear my words, hear my question, hear my challenge." But 450 wouldn't do it. But there was some that did. Verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell. God was pleased. And when all the people saw it, the suggestion is it wasn't the 450 prophets. Some of the people were convinced. The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Will you say that tonight? This is my God, the God. Christ is my Savior, my Lord. I would have him as my sacrifice instead of me. He has taken my punishment, and God has been pleased with his Son. But they wouldn't. 450. The showdown for them made no difference. The contest was over. The opportunity was gone. Never say another day will do for Jesus. Come to him. Confess your sin. He will not cast you out. Let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, oh, we see the voice of God speaking through his word to us tonight, pleading. Lord, may we be indecisive no longer. May we hear God's voice, and may we come to him. Oh, bless us this night. Cleanse us with the blood of Christ. May we rely only upon him. We ask in Jesus' name.